Welcome to Straight Talk with Kathy, your go-to source for health and wellness discussions from one of our country's leading motivational speakers, Kathy Robinson Pickett. And now, without further delay, here's Straight Talk with Kathy.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to this week's Straight Talk with Kathy. I'm your host, Kathy Robinson Pickett, and I'm a woman with something to say. And today's show is going to be really informative and exciting. We are in Lakeland, Florida today with two of my very good friends, Dan Lewis and Lee Steele. They're joining me in studio to talk about bullying. And these are guys that have got some personal experiences to share, but a great wealth of information about how you can help your son, your daughter, people in your community to recognize what bullying is. And as you know, this has been an ongoing topic on this show, and it's not going to go away. So we're not going to go away. We're going to keep addressing it. So I'm really happy you guys are here today.
Thanks for having us.
Good to be here.
Very good. So I really want to start out with Lee. And I was sitting with Lee last night in church, actually. Lee is also a pastor. And he had a really interesting insight when we were talking. And I just want him to start by sharing that. And we'll go from there.
Start by telling a story. A guy leaves house one morning, 14, 15 years old, on his way to school as usual. About halfway there, some thugs jump out of a car, whoever they were. They beat him up. They didn't like the way he looked. They didn't like the way he dressed. Not only did they beat him up, but they took his designer jacket. They took his designer sunglasses. They took his shoes. They left him laying on the side of the road thinking that he was dead. After 5 or 6 minutes, a guy walks by on the other side of the road on his way to work. He notices the kid laying there and continues walking. About 5 minutes later, another guy comes by, notices the kid laying there, walks over to the kid, realizes he's breathing, ignores the need for help, and heads on to work. A few minutes later, a little old lady comes by. She sees the kid laying there, goes over to him, picks him up, takes him to the hospital. Boom, it's done. He's taken care of. My question is, who was the bully? Was the bully just the one that beat up the kid and stole from him? Or was the bully also the one who saw the need and ignored what was going on? One of the greatest forms, or most common forms of bullying, I should say, that we find is ignoring the problem. Seeing something's going on and ignoring what's happening. And with that, 30% of young adults, adolescents, teens, have been involved in some way in bullying. That doesn't mean they've been bullied. That doesn't mean they have bullied. It simply means that they have seen bullying take place and nothing has been done.
I think, some people are going to hear that and it's going to upset them. They're going to go, well, no, that's not true. But I absolutely agree with Lee. I find that every day. People ignore the problems. And if you ignore the problem, you know the problem's there, then you are certainly part of the problem. And that goes to a whole host of issues, not just bullying. But obviously today we're talking about bullying. And, it's just such a huge problem. Obviously, we know it's a big problem in the gay community. We've heard a lot of that in the news lately. And I've actually invited Dan here today to kind of, he's a young man, and to kind of talk about his experiences growing up.
Well, growing up, being very feminine, I was definitely tormented with being called Mary, being called girl, anything but respected as a person. And I would find reasons not to go to school. My grades constantly were down in the D and F level. There were, many things that I dealt with. And I know that looking back on it, the teachers definitely ignored it, which caused a big problem. There was nobody I could confide in. They got tired of hearing me, whine or whatever it is, but, calling out for help. And as I got into high school, skipping classes and things, of course I had fun as a child skipping classes, but the main reason I did not want to be there was for, being called queer bait or, faggot or, all of the derogatory terms you can think of being feminine. And I was not out. I was not even in touch with my own sexuality at the time. I was just being told I was gay by the majority of people.
And, you know, we're good friends. And so you grew up in a rural area in a small town. But
yes.
I really think that those same things happen no matter what size the city you're in. Do you think that's true?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I spent a majority of my 20s in a metro area here in Central Florida. And, you know, people, co-workers and things, you know, they had kids that dealt with the same type of things that I dealt with in a rural area.
Yeah, it's really interesting. People think, oh, that only happened someplace else, you know, and it's always easy to be someplace else. Do you think your parents realized what was going on when you were young?
No. My parents did not realize. They thought it was an excuse to not be doing well in school when I had the capacity to actually do very well in school.
So there are a lot of parents that listen to this show. If you had something you could say to a parent now that would help them recognize that their child may be in trouble, what would that be?
If your child's not wanting to go to school, most likely it's not because they don't like the school work. It's, you know, as children, we have that need to feel accepted by everybody a lot more than we as adults do. And when we're not being accepted, when we're actually the opposite, being tormented, we won't be in school. Our grades will be down. We won't have many friends that we hang out with. There'll be depression. We'll act out very disrespectfully to the people that love us.
So I know you're very close to your mom, but as a kid, what could your mom, if she'd have asked you, if she'd have said, are you afraid to go to school, or are people picking on you, would you have been able to tell her?
I would have told her.
So sometimes it's just asking
yes.
that hard question. But for parents, sometimes it's hard to want to even know, right?
I would imagine, absolutely, as a parent myself, even though I dealt with that, it's hard to know how to deal with something like that. It's just very hard to know how to deal with something like that. But I would say being, you know, reactive or proactive with it, if your child comes to you, I didn't feel like mom was on my side, so I didn't bring it up to her more than once. Because when I brought it up once, she didn't go in and fight for me.
Well, you've also got to look at it from the standpoint of, especially from a paternal standpoint, if a son comes to his daddy because he's being bullied and he expresses that in whatever way he does, in the father's mind, most likely from that generation, it's just a rite of passage, son. It'll make you tougher, make you stronger. Nobody's made tougher or stronger by being abused, by being bullied, by being condemned and bashed and non-validated. Non-validated.
You're absolutely right. I had a young man in my former job at Florida Southern come to me one day. He came in January. It was right after the Christmas holidays one year. And he looked like he'd been in a really bad car accident. I mean, his face was bruised. He had bruises on him.
Mm.
And he sat down in my chair and I was like, honey, what happened? You know, it looked to me, my initial response was an airbag had gone off or something. And he said, this is my brother. I said, your brother? What do you mean? He's like, well, Kathy, it's the reason I don't go home a lot of times for the holidays. This happens. I'm like, how long has this been going on? And he said, probably since I was 10. I said, since you were 10? Where are your parents? And he says, well, my dad always says, man up, man up.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times that is the response.
Well, and you also have to understand as a grown-up, children and adolescents do not think maturely as we do, so they do not just let it roll off their back. They're looking for that acceptance. They're looking for their place on this planet. They're not thinking like, oh, whatever, it's just kids bothering me, because they are in that group.
So we know bullying takes all forms. It certainly
Absolutely.
Happens in school.
Mm-hmm.
We know it can happen in the workplace.
Oh, yes.
We know it can happen in the church.
Mm-hmm.
We know it happens in the community. So what are some ideas that, because a lot of people listen to this, what are some ideas that you think, both of you, could make the discussion start happening in people's own community setting, whatever their community is, meaning their personal community, to maybe start addressing some of these issues, because we have to start talking about it.
Well, we all have to have a compassion, more of a compassion for each other. In today's society, compassion is so absent, and I think that's a big part of it.
It starts with recognizing and realizing, I don't care where you live, there is a problem. I grew up in little Beaver Dam, Kentucky, with 2,300 people citywide, 20,000 people in the county. There's a problem there. We live in Polk County, Florida. 27,000 gay people is the population of just our community. We have a problem here. But it's not just a gay problem. Bashing is not a gay issue. HIV and AIDS is not a gay issue. This is a social issue that's being ignored because it draws fire.
Mm-hmm.
Realizing there has to be a safe place. The family needs to be a safe place. The school needs to be a safe place. For the love of God, the church should be a safe place.
Absolutely.
Accepting and not being silent. So if we can recognize the problem and admit that there is a problem, the first thing they do with an addict, you have to recognize the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I still agree with that. The problem with that is that everybody wants to always see it someone else's problem. And, you know, we've had huge national attention given to this issue in the last 2 months because we've had a number of college age and younger gay men who have committed suicide because they've, you know, been bullied or bashed and those kinds of things. We've also had a large number of young women commit suicide in the last year over sexting, because they've been bullied in school and those kinds of things. So I'm sure those 25 communities that have had this actually happen and it be in their news are saying, okay, we have to address it. But what I want to know is, how do we get there before we make the national news?
Well, you know, parents sit down with their children and have the talk about the birds and the bees. Well, technology needs to be in that discussion, because technology is a part of society now, and technology is what's bringing these issues on, specifically, you know, with the sexting and such.
Well, I think technology allows people to bully in a way never before.
Absolutely.
Because you can say things online or in a text or on Twitter or on Facebook to someone that you would never be able to say in person.
Absolutely.
Because if you have to look at somebody, there's a little bit of a filter. Even if you're the biggest jerk on the planet, there is a little filter that has to kick in. But if you are just sitting behind a keyboard, it's really easy to say you are fat, ugly, and a faggot from, you know, Podunk, whatever someone says, because they don't have an immediate consequence to their actions. So I think you're absolutely right, adding that in the discussion for parents to do that. We all know, though, that part of the problem is that a lot of parents are scared of those discussions. So I think, where can they go for resources to be able to do that? Well, they can go to the local Department of Health. Mm-hmm. They can go to their local PFLAG organizations. They can go to their local Planned Parenthood. Even their local college counselors and those kinds of places, to get someone to help them with the information they need to be able to have those conversations.
And they, too, can use technology to get those answers as well.
Exactly.
Without going anywhere.
There's so much online. Lee, what do you think about the church? How do we educate other pastors? Obviously, you're really in tune as a pastor, and we know there are other pastors that are enlightened, but there are a lot of pastors that listen to this show. I know that as a fact. So what would you say to them, maybe to be able to bring their congregations into this discussion?
We've taken on an ideology for the past couple months, an idea that we want to run with and go with, that the church has been silent long enough. They've been very vocal on social issues in negative ways, quite frankly, unrealistic ways. It's unrealistic because, with no disrespect intended, they're uneducated as to the problem. You said a while ago that so many people want to shy away because it's not my problem. Well, the fact of the matter is, it is your problem, because you know someone who's being bullied. Somebody in your church, pastor, is being bullied. Someone in your family, mama, is being bullied somewhere down the line. And if not, maybe a neighbor. maybe a friend, or maybe it's about to happen. So as churches, if we could realize that it's not about four walls of instruction, and it's not about meeting on Sunday mornings, but rather about being a community of like-minded people that just focus on the well-being of every part of the community, inside the walls, and especially outside the walls, is our problem. We've been silent too long, and I do believe that with the political pull, let's take politics and the church, even though there's supposed to be the separation of the two, and it's spoken of, the church still plays a vital role in political, social issues.
Mm-hmm.
We need our voices heard. And the reason they're not heard is because we refuse to address the issues. And we refuse to address the issues because we don't want fingers pointing at us, asking our questions, ruffling feathers, maybe worried about offending someone. What about those who are being bullied? What about the ones who have already been offended and they look to us for safety and for security? And if we're not there to provide that, we've got a bigger problem than we had to begin with.
I absolutely, absolutely agree. You know, social justice issues are part of the church. And I'm always so grateful when a pastor asks me to come and speak in a church, no matter what time it is, even if it's Wednesday after choir practice, which sometimes that's when it is. But I'm always so grateful because I believe the church is the biggest place for social change to happen in our country today. I am so sorry that we are already out of time, but it has been great having you guys. I definitely want to have you back. Please, as you're listening to this, if you have a question for Dan or for Lee or for myself, don't forget you can reach us on Twitter at Straight Talk Pod, on Facebook at Kathy Robinson Pickett, and by email at straighttalkwithkathy@gmail.com. Again, thank you guys so much for being here this week.
It's our pleasure. Thank you, Kathy.
And until next week, be the boss of your brain.